So our passage today comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 36 through 42, and I would invite you to stand if you are able, please, for the reading of God's Word. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, help us to hear the message that you want heard. Lord, make the words that come from my mouth be your words. Hide me behind the cross so that we may see your Son, that we may hear the message of Jesus. Father, if necessary, use the Holy Spirit to push me completely out of the way so that, Lord, it is your word that we have written on our hearts today. Open our hearts and our minds to hear it. And Lord, write them upon our hearts so that we may take them from here and share them with others who need to hear it as well. And we say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? So my daughter, one of the things that she likes to do when we're messing around and I start teasing her, will turn to me and go, "Are you being judgy? You know, are you using your judginess?" I think this is the way she actually puts it. And judginess is kind of what we do, isn't it? As humans, it's part of our human nature. We look at things and we put a label on them. And if you see someone wearing all leather and, you know, they're wearing patches and boots and they may have a headband and sunglasses, you probably would automatically assume he's a biker. If you see a woman with a minivan and a whole bunch of children running around and, you know, a whistle around her neck and a bunch of soccer balls in the back of her minivan, you'd probably think, well, that's a soccer mom. Someone driving a beat-up pickup, wearing dirty clothes and a hat, that might be a farmer. You even go back to, like, high school, because I remember in high school, the kids with long hair that were smoking, those were usually called headbangers or stoners. The guys who wore the letter jackets, they were the jocks. You know, they all had labels. Mine was band geek, at least I think. All these things are labels. They're judgments that we place on ourselves and on others. And is that really a bad thing? I mean, we judge fruits and veggies by the way they look, and that's actually probably a very good thing. I mean, if I look at a tomato and it's got a big old black spot on it, and there's hair growing out of it, I'm not going to eat that. Would you? I mean, yes, I'm joking a bit, but that's what we do, isn't it? And it's a good thing, because if I eat that tomato, I'm probably going to get sick. So it's a good thing sometimes for us to judge, for us to look at something or even someone and slap a label on it. This is something that helps us live. I mean, a really good example, if I see a dog and he's growling at me and barking at me, it's probably a good idea for me to make a wide arc around that dog. It indicates to me that the dog is not happy. So sometimes judgment keeps us from danger. Judgment can save lives. It can keep us away from things that hurt us. It can keep us away from bad company and sinners who might lead us away from the Lord. And remember last week we were talking about what it says in Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So putting these labels on people might be a really good thing. And 1 Corinthians 15:33 also tells us, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. And even Jesus tells us that we will know them by their fruit. So then why does our passage today seem to contradict this? Why does Jesus tell us not to judge? Are you confused? Yeah, so am I. I know you're thinking, okay, Pastor Mars has finally lost it. He's talking in circles. And it's true, I am. Because this can be very confusing. And I know this may seem like a weird direction, but I'm going to ask you to join me on this little weird ride. So the first thing, in Jesus' day, the New Testament, we often read about the Pharisees or the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, the Sanhedrin. The Jewish ruling faction, essentially, right? And then on the other side of that coin, we read about the tax collectors and the sinners who Jesus would welcome and draw to him. And yet, who do you see Jesus calling out? Who do you see him saying, you're not doing this quite right? Who does Jesus pointing out as sinning? It's the Pharisees, it's the scribes and the Sadducees. We see him doing that often, and why is that? Well, because they themselves, they didn't see themselves for what they were. Sinners. The ruling class were the ones who were accusing. They were the ones pointing the finger. They were the ones labeling people, telling them what was right and what was wrong. They were the ones labeling others as sinners and unclean. They were the ones who said what was right and what was wrong, and yet they themselves were also sinners. But they were the ones pointing out the sins of everyone else, all the while claiming that they're the righteous ones. Now that doesn't happen to us, does it? We never do that, do we? None of us here has ever had the thought, well, I would never do that. I could never be that sinful. You know, there's a passage in Luke 18 that tells us more about this. We start in verse 9 where it says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. You know, Jesus told a parable in our passage today about the blind leading the blind. The blind ones that Jesus refers to in this passage today are those who believe themselves to be righteous, to be sinless. And they lead others to this same false belief. This false belief that because of their own righteousness, they don't need to see their own sins. And yet as Christians, do we sometimes do this? Because the world, well, because to the world, that is often what they accuse us of doing, isn't it? They often think that we're judging, that we as Christians are condemning. They point to us and say that we don't see past the log in our eye because we're constantly pointing out their sins. Is it possible? Could that be true? Is it possible that we as Christians could fall into the sin of acting like a Pharisee? Is it possible that we could be guilty of putting God's law above his mercy? If we're going to be honest, we are. We have to admit that sometimes we do. Why? Because we are sinful. You know, I hate to give this as an example, but I saw it every time when I used to work for the city of Denver. You know, when I was writing parking tickets. It was called Beat 39. It was the area where the Planned Parenthood Abortion Center was. And I would drive up outside this place, and you'd see this all the time. You'd see the people with their signs protesting, which I fully support the idea of protesting an abortion center. But they would actually take doll parts and put them out on the road and put them all over the sidewalk. They would block the sidewalks with these big, huge signs that would take two people to move. And then one lady, she would actually take a ladder, and she would set it up, and then she would climb up the ladder so she could look over the fence and yell at the workers that worked on the inside. Now, my job when I was writing parking tickets was to make sure that people could drive and actually use the sidewalks. And so it was illegal to block these sidewalks. It was illegal to place a sign in the middle of the street without a permit. And if I tried to calmly explain this, they would swarm me. And by swarm, I mean there was one time I was actually afraid. My Jeep was surrounded by like 15 to 20 people. And they were yelling at me. And they were telling me that they had a legal right to protest, and that if I had a problem, they would sue me and sue the city of Denver. You know, some of them tried to threaten me with my job. And not once would they listen to the fact that there were people who lived in the area who used wheelchairs and couldn't get past all the doll parts and the sign on the sidewalk and the big old ladder. They were focused on pointing out the sins that were being committed on the inside, but they were failing to see that they were committing sins against their neighbors. They weren't letting people just walk around. And what was that Jesus said in our passage today? Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you fail to see the plank that's in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And sometimes we do, unfortunately, forget our own sinful nature. We forget to love our neighbor. We forget to be merciful just as our Father is merciful. And we do. We sometimes forget to be merciful. And we forget that we have been shown mercy. Mercy that we don't deserve. When Christ gave us these words, it wasn't to tell us not to judge sin. It was to tell us not to judge the sinner. Because today's sinner could be tomorrow's saint. Christ reminds us that we were once the ones who were being judged, the ones who were condemned for our own sins, and then we were gracefully forgiven. That is why he reminds us that we are not to judge, that we are not to condemn, but we are to forgive, and it will be forgiven of us. This reminds us, it reminds me of our passage today from the book of Genesis, where after Jacob died, Joseph's brothers were afraid, you know, that he would seek his revenge. Remember, it said, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they went to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins that they and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. They said, "We are your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? I think that's the key to our message here today. We're not in the place of God. And Joseph didn't judge them for their past deeds. Joseph didn't condemn them for their past deeds. We should not do the same thing. In fact, we should leave it to only one person, and that is the perfect judge. And when we leave it in his hands, he gave us mercy. He gave us forgiveness. just as Jesus did on the cross. You know, when I referred to those people, those different types of people at the beginning of the message, you know, the biker, the soccer mom, farmer, the stoners, the jocks, and, well, band geeks, I said that we put labels on them. But if we judge them or condemn them, we forget that Jesus has already paid their price. He's already paid our price. We forget that he already paid the price for us. And he has already labeled us with his love. So it's not our place to judge. It's our place to show the world the love that God has for them. The love that he willingly gave to all of us the day that his son paid that penalty for the sins that we have committed. It is our place to show them the mercy of our Father, the love that he has so lavishly given to us, and to show them the forgiveness that we received and is available also to them through our Savior and Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for sending your Son. Lord, to send him with the forgiveness message, the message that labels us as forgiven, that takes away those sins and those things that we've done wrong, Lord, places them on the cross, and then we're rid of them forever, all through what your Son did for us, all through the grace that he gave us. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you again for your Son and for what he did, the things that we couldn't do so that we could be with you. We say all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen.